The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Thanks for joining us once again. Very special guest today, and that is Brooke Taylor, who you're all familiar with, and her husband Jim, who you're probably not as familiar with. Guys, welcome to God Calling.
Thanks.
Hi, Paul.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for inviting us.
You're both obviously now devout Catholics, and Brooke, of course, you're spreading the word like nobody's business these days, which is great. Before we get into how your faith was formed, something that always interests me is that they're always saying carry the faith forward, and you're doing it in these days and times in so many different ways, with podcasts, writing, books, television, radio. We're all called to do it. What motivated you to really dive into it the way you have?
Only by the grace of God, because there, for my whole life, has been a struggle of confidence. I think for all of us, when you look at the word humility, it's not humiliated, but just to see ourselves as we really are. And for me, I know my inadequacy. And in my life, all that I can say is there was a sort of a Pentecost, and that set me on fire and ablaze. And just this great zeal because of the way that I love our Lord too, and our church. I love our church. Mm-hmm. And to try to share the truth, beauty, and goodness of the treasury of our church. So that really is what propels me forward.
You mentioned the word reversion.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, that could be an entire show in and of itself, but you and I coming from media, mm-hmm. we know that it is a secular world by and large, and increasingly so. And that's a bit of my story, having been raised by beautiful parents and a mom that went to Notre Dame in Toledo and had dedicated her life to be a religious. She was a postulant, and during her novitiate, she had an injury. She left the convent and eventually met my dad, thanks be to God, and her vocation as wife and mother. That there was a lot of pain and difficulty during that time, though, but that devout beauty, the piety she had in the convent, never waned, and she brought that into the home. And so I was raised with just the beauty of the faith before me in the hymns that she would sing to Our Lady, she would sing to us as children, and the prayers and the life witness of virtue. And so that was the home that raised me, my mom, my dad. And then I got into radio at a young age and was just so enamored by the culture, by the lights, by the celebrity and the false gods that is, that we know, as St. Augustine has said from time immemorial, that our hearts are restless, O Lord, until they rest in thee.
You get a lot of false praise in the media.
Yeah.
And you can let it go to your head.
And especially when you're young and you're trying to find your way and be formed, and it's such a terrible malformation that comes from the culture because it's a counterfeit. And so finding that and seeking approval in those areas through listeners, through celebrity, through being young and working your way up the ladder quickly, and the status and the financial gains that comes with that, and very easily you can try to untether yourself from the foundation of faith, because with that faith comes accountability, comes responsibility, comes examination of conscience that comes increasingly difficult
yeah.
when you are selling yourself out essentially to a culture that despises virtue and self-oblation and sacrifice in that way and self-giving. So that was for many years where I was. I was lost. I was adrift. And found ways to justify, which I think a lot of people do, justify the things I said, the behaviors that I was adopting, the things that I listened to, the people that I surrounded myself with. And so it wasn't until having achieved all of these worldly things that I believed would bring me great fulfillment that I realized how miserable I was, how empty it was. And I know through the lives of the saints, through scripture, that over and over the story is repeated in souls. And that was certainly my story. But I think for a while I thought, well, you know what it is? Maybe it's not God, maybe it's a man. I need a husband and I need a life that will, for me, fulfill the things that I believe is the great American dream.
And here's the lucky guy. I didn't forget about you, Jim.
Oh, that's okay.
And he played a big part of that, for sure. But
Your background, Jim, totally different as far as upbringing you religiously.
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in the deep south of Florida, and we were raised Southern Baptist, very strict in its, you know, our beliefs and our stances on things. I just went with my parents to church every Sunday, mm-hmm. like a good little boy, and grew up. And it always had a longing for that something bigger and better out there. I just never knew what it was. So I would seek out things to try to satisfy what it was. And mm-hmm. nothing could ever be found. And then, you know, I'm going to join the Army. Decided to do that, joined the Army, and I'm leaving out a lot of stuff because I know we don't want to. It's a boring story, but
I'm interested.
When I got into the service, I felt, you know, like, all right, I feel like this is like my calling a little mm-hmm. bit, and I really enjoyed it. And then within a year of being there, that's when I met her, and she had happened to come down to visit. And from that point forward, the rest is history. You know, we got married 6 months later, and I just knew in the moment, you know, when I saw and met her, that's who I was supposed to marry. So I pursued and made that my goal and my desire from that point. I had no understanding of the faith, the Catholic faith at that point in time, other than...
Go to church on Sunday.
Yeah, go to church on Sunday. So
I remember you sharing you were always attracted to like Benedictine chant and the beauty of the liturgy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, in my big skip of time there, I just did. I left out a few things. But yeah, that was one thing that always was interesting to me. Like you'd see it on the movies. I can't remember movies from the era. Like in the 90s, you'd see movies and there you'd see the Gregorian chants, the monks walking mm-hmm. through the monasteries, the hall, the dark, beautiful recesses of time immemorial, and the people, and they're doing their duty to honor Christ and God through their vocation and their reverence and their obedience. And it was, to me, it always stood out because it was something I can relate to. It was manly, you know. It was mm-hmm. something that was humility,
like the Army.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, I think as we've reflected over the years, and now we have four sons and we have a daughter, and just holy masculinity, biblical chivalry is a big theme in our home. Is this idea that God has placed within man this desire to conquer, and it's conquering hearts. And so for Jim, as a young age, he wanted to be all in and whatever it was. And I think for young men today, for, you know, that seed that God has placed to be challenged, to rise to something greater. We think about St. George and the dragon, slaying the dragons of sin. Should it be oriented the right way? That's what it should be, for a man to be a servant, a priest, prophet, king. And that for him, I don't think he was able to articulate, but that attracted him. Mm-hmm. And for both of us, we were seeking that. And that's really, I think, what brought us together in that short courtship we had. It was very old-fashioned. We wrote letters because being in the military, and I was working at the time here in Ohio in radio, and it was long distance. So we did write letters. And even though we both were prodigal in our lives, that foundational emphasis was always the most important, and that was faith, truly. No matter how far either one of us may have strayed, prayer and fervent seeking the Lord, His will for our life was always front and center. And I look back now and just think what a grace that was.
Brooke Taylor is joining us on God Calling, and her husband Jim sharing their story of faith, love, marriage, family. We'll talk about all of that coming up on God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Welcome back to God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski with Brooke Taylor this week, as well as her husband, Jim. Brooke, you talked about your mom having entered the convent for a time and how important that was. Where did you go to school? To Catholic schools? Or
It was always public school. Mm-hmm. We moved quite a bit growing up, but most of my education, it was actually started in Milan, Ohio, near Sandusky, mm-hmm. the birthplace of Thomas Edison.
Yep.
And that was a gift to grow up in such a historic area. And then we moved to Wisconsin. So that was unique. And it was a time in my life that was an answer to prayer because I had experienced a lot of bullying. And girls, what I learned can be cruel. And this is before social media. So that is always on my heart.
This is in person.
Yes. Yeah. But for young adults today, just the difficulty of navigating social media and some of the, you know, the challenges of the social aspect. But for me, it was a blessing to have a fresh start. So it was always a public school. And again, I think that for me, it contributed in a time of my life of coming away from my roots a bit. I did go to CCD, but the formation wasn't something that I interiorized. I had received all my sacraments. Mm-hmm. So it took a while, and I don't think it was until, coupled with married life, having our first baby, and then working on Christian radio, where I was daily challenged by Protestant brothers and sisters in my beliefs, that I really began to confront, what is it that I believe? Do I believe it? Why do I believe it? And this classroom of apologetics that really contributed, as well as, you know, with Jim entering RCIA, that was a huge transformation in our life, and to have our marriage validated and to see him really be a light with the fire of the faith.
Jim, four sons and a daughter.
Yes.
How do you nurture that Christian masculinity, I think you called it? Yeah. How do you foster that?
It's a good question, Paul. I adhere to the principle of do as I do, not as I say.
So example.
Example. So if I'm wrong in something, I need to identify that I'm wrong in something and take ownership of that. If there's something that I am against, I have to speak out against that, because by not speaking out against it, I'm allowing it. I'm mm-hmm. going to let it grow to somewhere where it needs to not grow to. So what I try to do with our children, and a lot of it is attributed to her and her changing the man, right? Changing, because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. I've always had the innate ability to be leadership wise. I have the characteristics of leadership and stuff, but then honing it in with her into what was more important, the faith driven aspects of life. And it became revealed to me through following this process, and which led me to the RCIA, into the Catholic faith, conversion to the Catholic faith, that, okay, this is where true identity, true Catholic identity and manhood actually coexists. And with it, it requires work, like anything else that's important mm-hmm. in life. Mm-hmm. If it's worth it, you're going to put effort into it. So now I fail all the time on everything, like anybody else. It's just human. But it's what you do after you fail, I think, that becomes the most important aspect for your children to see.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're able to pull your boots up and get back at it, and get back in the arena of life and pursue what's important to you, then your family's going to follow you in that path, because they're going to see that there's an alternative solution to other things. And
how old are the boys?
Our oldest is going to be 21 in 8 days, and we have an 18-year-old, 16. Our daughter is 12, and our son, youngest, is 10.
I'll just add quickly, too,
sure.
with regards to what Jim was saying, if I may, is it's been really beautiful over the decades of marriage to just discern and live out our charism. So, for example, Jim is tireless in endurance, sacrificing for his family. There have been times over the years that he's worked 3 jobs, and even including a janitor at our school, the Catholic school, to be mm-hmm. able to provide the tuition for our children. And there isn't anything that he would feel, and he also currently has an incredible job. God has, you know, shown great favor. There isn't anything that's ever been beneath him in order to sacrifice for his family. Where, you know, my charism is more of the gifts, I pray, transmitting the faith through storytelling, videos. We have family bonfires in which we will bring out stories of the saints. We will pray a family rosary in the monastery of our home. And through what I do in radio, I'm often able to encounter guests and stories and videos, and they've changed my life. And so I think we have a responsibility to pass that on to our children. I want to teach them about the lives of the saints, and there's a magazine that Jim subscribes to through a ministry.
Yeah, Sword and Spade.
is really about biblical masculinity mm-hmm. and truth, beauty, goodness, in enjoying the God-created night sky, to appreciating good art, poetry. And so together, this is what we do. We call it landing time, that no matter where we are, how busy or scattered we are, and as the kids get older, it's increasingly more difficult to gather and have this soft place to land where we pray as a family in the spirit of Father Patrick Peyton, you know, the family rosary. We pray the rosary I do every single day. And a few times a week, we have a family rosary night. Family novena, we're doing that right now. And so those different gifts coming together, Jim's ability to really prioritize God and family over everything else, no matter how busy he is, and the ability to endure. And I guess my ability to more bring it alive, I hope, and pray in the home and animate the faith through stories. That's, you know, a beautiful blend that only through time and striving has our Lord revealed and helped to enrich our family.
You know, I think I had a little bit of the same experience as you from the standpoint of 50 years on the radio and television, and then began after I retired here at The Rock, and it's deepened my faith. I know so much more than I used to. I went to Mass and all that, but it's a great experience, so we share that as well. And we're going to share more with you right after these breaks on AM 1260 The Rock. Cleveland Catholic Radio, stay with us. Brooke is going to join us along with Jim right after this. Welcome back to God Calling. Brooke Taylor is with us and her husband, Jim. Brooke, I've looked at some of your websites, and it's like an encyclopedia. I checked out A to Z, all these various topics, right? There's nothing under J, there's nothing under Q, and there's nothing under Z. But every other letter of the alphabet has got something under there.
That's very thorough, Paul.
For a resource. But, you know, in these days of the social media with kids, a Catholic parent might be looking for a resource to look up some sorts of material that might be appropriate to nurture the faith in their child. And some of your sites are exactly that. Catalogs.
Well, thank you. And that has been our prayer and our response, because through leaving my full-time media job and beginning The Call in ministry, we have three missions: encounter, evangelize, inspire. And we've done that through pilgrimage, through retreat, through podcast, and live events as well. So that might be me speaking or us bringing a speaker in. And it really is to cover the battle of the culture right now, and mm-hmm. at our own, we are the church militant, to be able to equip families. And we live such an active existence with so much noise. And I think at the end of the day, it's the simple. It's getting back to the strength that comes from an interior life that is well-ordered and a docility of spirit. And really, St. Gabriel Media is the name of our ministry. That's where so much of it flows out from. The angel Gabriel, the archangel, the patron saint of broadcasters, mm-hmm. sharing the good news. And that's something I think as a married couple that has brought us stronger and closer together as well, is this call to want to help other families, knowing ourselves how imperfect we are and how we are striving and failing every day, but by the grace of God, able to pour into other families because of what he's done in our own life.
Mm-hmm. Jim, you made an interesting trip, and I don't want to skip this, to Poland.
Yes.
For your daughter,
yes.
who was adopted. And it has some severe challenges, but as soon as I mentioned your trip to Poland, you lit up like a Christmas tree. Big smile.
Well, yeah, because first and foremost, I think of my daughter coming from there. Secondly, I think of history, because I love history. Mm-hmm. So being able to actually spend, we were there for almost three full months, if you combine all the time, staying there from Warsaw
okay.
and Bytom and Oswego. And where was the one that we went to originally?
Czestochowa,
thank you. Good grief.
Oh,
I could not, sorry, that was
Our Lady of
sorry, Mother.
Right?
yeah, and so what was profound about that was not only the opportunity to visit Jasna Góra and see the beauty of the church and the spires and
the Black Madonna
and everything that encompassed, but do it while holding our daughter that we were going to bring home with us to come and join us as a family. And then spending time in Poland, visiting Auschwitz, to walk in the streets of Warsaw, where you would see the bronze line in the streets of where they used to separate the ghettos
mm-hmm.
there. And you could step across the bronze lines today, but you couldn't back 60 years ago.
Wow.
You know, so it was just
But for our family, that was a life-changing experience because we had had 4 years of infertility, secondary infertility. We had three boys. Mm-hmm. And then for reasons we didn't know, we just could not have another child. We were open to life, never considered when we got married that we would be open to adoption. But again, the Holy Spirit, and that is an entire show in and of itself, the way he led, the way he provided.
You can write a book on that.
But yeah, and then with our daughter and in the adoption process, you know, concurrently, my dad was dying of cancer. Then we found out we were pregnant. So here we were in Poland, and I had to come home earlier because of work and to care for our three children back home.
Sure.
While Jim remained back in Poland with our daughter, and we talk about it to this day because it was these old buildings with several floors of stairs, no elevators. So he had groceries, he had her and a stroller that he's carrying up the stairs. And what a bond it was for them, for the two of them. I know there were moments where I think that Carolina and Jim both got sick of each other. Yeah. But there's also a bond. And we had no idea of knowing, you know, in marriage, and you and I, Paul, were talking about this before we went on air. We are asked to pick up our cross every day, our Lord, and we follow him. But we can't even know what that means,
nope.
You know, when we're making our vows or when we receive our sacraments, what he will call us to. And we may and most likely will be asked to give far more than what we ever expected in our life. So we didn't know at the time that she would be diagnosed with a severe disability and autism, intellectual disability. But she has been the professor of mercy and love and joy in our life and for our entire family.
I guess that was go ahead, Jim.
She also helps with training if you're ever being held hostage and you need to give up the location of stuff because the screams and the noises that it's emitted from there, they couldn't crack you if you're being tortured.
But it's brought you to new levels of patience, I think, that without the love that you would
That's
have.
That's true.
From
I have been a very impatient man my whole life. And
this requires a whole different skill. Huh?
Yeah, a whole different skill set. You know?
How big of a blessing? And there are challenges. If you weigh them, there's challenges and then there's blessings, I guess, way up the ladder.
Absolutely. I'll just recall a personal moment that happened. It was in our bedroom. It was after we had come back and she wasn't closing the gap and wasn't catching up. We knew that there would be a delay. There were a lot of delays coming home, but we knew she's coming from an orphanage. She wasn't even rolling over by 9 months, so we knew that we were going to have to do some intense therapy. But after a time went by, it just wasn't happening. And so I remember standing, and Jim was at the foot of our bed, and he said, I feel like the adoption agency lied to us. They misguided us, and they gave us this child that we thought that she was going to be typical and normal and developing. And he had a choice to make. He could be stuck in bitterness, or he could choose to just let it dissolve. And in that moment, and I'll never forget it, it was as if the Lord took his heart, and you cannot break the bonds of love, the love that he has for this child, for our daughter. And because of that leadership in his life, and it isn't to say there aren't challenging moments when there are sensory meltdowns, and this is different than just a toddler meltdown. It is massive. You know, we deal with a lot, especially as Carolina is now 12 and entering into a new phase of development. But the leadership that he's shown in the way that he loves her, in the way that he has patience with her, sometimes in the way that he's firm with her in a way that I'm not. And it's good for her because he pushes her.
If people want to connect, I don't want to run out of time without giving you a shot to tell people where they can hear you, hear more, learn more, read more, you name it.
BrookeTaylor.us is the website, and that's the easiest way you can connect via the podcast and also the blog articles and social media as well.
Okay. I have all these pages of notes. And I used one word, reversion. At the beginning of the show, I didn't have to. We need an hour, Dan. Can we do a second show?
Part two.
There you go. Promise me you'll come back down the line. Very good.
Well, Paul,
this
you.
Is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We hope you'll join us each and every week at this very same time.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program, or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.